Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk for today, April 28th. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, and tonight we are joined by Bridget Sharp of PBA for round two, so to speak, of our conversation with the Professional Beauty Association. And tonight we're going to be talking about the deregulation issue that so many of us are concerned about. But before Bridget speaks, I will like for my sister Denise to share some beauty news with us.
I have two quick things really quickly because I'm really excited about tonight's show, so I just want to get to it. Just wanted to remind everyone, coming up this weekend, May 5th and 6th will be the Makeup Show New York. If you need more information about that, you can go to themakeupshow.com. And again, Fame Expo, June 29th and 30th in Pasadena, California. If you need information on that, it's fameexpo.com, which is PHAMEXPO.com. Again, June 29th and 30th at the Pasadena Convention Center, and Beauty Talk will be airing live from the Fame Expo. So go and check out the website and look forward to a lot of exciting new things.
All right, short and sweet. Bridget, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you're able to come on, and I'm so thankful to Brad for when I reached out to Brad, he was able to get two guests to come on back-to-back, two back-to-back Sundays. I'm very appreciative and thankful for that, and just appreciate you guys' effort. Why don't you start the show off just by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your position with PBA.
Sure. Well, I actually started with PBA back in June of 2012, so I've almost been there for a year, but it definitely has seemed shorter because I've just had so much fun working in this industry. I am the Government Affairs and Industry Relations Coordinator for PBA. So essentially what that means is I work in the Government Affairs Department with Myra Irizarry, who is the Government Affairs Director, and we essentially oversee anything having to do with legislation affecting the industry, whether it's good or bad. And we work both at the federal level and we work at the state level as well. And as you know, or as you know, what we're kind of talking about today, deregulation of the industry has been a major state issue that we've been dealing with. So we'll definitely get into that a little bit more, and we also deal with federal legislation, our main topic being the FICA tip tax legislation that, you know, the industry has been working very hard on for about 10 years. We've made a lot of progress with it this year because of tax reform wanting to be passed by Congress this year. So, you know, of course, this bill is a tax bill, so it would be the perfect time to get it passed. So, you know, we've made a lot of leeway with that, and we're really excited about that, and we're hoping to get, you know, some more good news soon. So that's essentially, you know, my role. I come from a campaign background. I've worked on several different candidate and issue-based campaigns, which was a lot of fun. And I'm basically, you know, with PBA, I'm on the other side of kind of the other side of the fence with everything, you know, before I was working on getting, you know, people elected and getting initiatives passed, and here I'm, you know, working with those folks who are elected now. So it's a lot of fun. The industry is so wonderful. You know, our membership is comprised of manufacturers, distributors, salon and spa owners, as well as licensed cosmetologists. So you really get to see every different side of the industry. And I think that's probably what I like so much about it.
Absolutely. What is it all about? What is this deregulation issue really all about?
So this is actually an issue that has come up just in the past couple of years, and the beauty industry has been targeted, I think, because legislators, first of all, aren't educated on the industry at all. You know, many times it's kind of older gentlemen who have been in, you know, their current seat for a while, and they don't really know mm-hmm. what the industry is all about. And so, you know, they'll see that the public wants to see, you know, less government regulation. They want to see the red tape taken away. You know, they want to see things like that. And, you know, they're kind of having this outcry from people. And so they kind of look to occupational licenses to kind of alleviate that a little bit. And so, you know, what we've seen is they've targeted the beauty industry because they don't understand, you know, the work that goes into it. You know, they don't understand that people who want to become licensed cosmetologists go through hundreds of hours of schooling, and much of that includes, you know, rigorous, intense, you know, health and safety learning and health and safety education, you know, and they kind of see it as, with licensing, they see it as a roadblock to allow people to get jobs. And obviously we know that, you know, we don't see it that way at all. You know, our industry is highly professional. You know, these folks go through a ton of school. They have to, you know, take an exam. You know, they've got to, you know, get there. They've got to get their first job. And then from there, you know, they're able to really move up the chain. And, you know, as we see in our industry that's comprised of about 85% of women, you know, these women and the folks in our industry are moving up, and they're, you know, they're behind the chair for several years, and then they're opening their own salons, and then they're launching their own products. So there's so much room for, you know, opportunity in this industry. And so once we kind of go in there, and once we find advocates for the industry to go in and talk to their legislators, they have a better understanding of what the industry is all about. So, you know, thankfully with the last couple of years, we've seen some deregulation. We've seen some deregulation legislation, especially in Indiana. Actually, this kind of came up, this was last session in 2012. There was a huge push and an outcry from members of the industry, you know, from all segments, you know, because it affects everyone from the, you know, the top down. And so we saw about 300, you know, members of the industry come down to the Indiana State Legislature the day that they were going to be having a hearing on this bill, and it eventually didn't go through because they saw the number of people that were so upset by this, and they're their constituents, and they're the folks that are eventually either going to be voting for them or not voting for them. So we really saw a really great grassroots movement and kind of grassroots outreach with that. And luckily this year we haven't, you know, knock on wood, seen any more deregulation legislation either, or nothing that has passed. So we're in good shape, you know, but it just takes so much education to make sure that these legislators know exactly, what they're voting against if you know, they were to take away licensing.
How did we get to this point? I mean, what was the, was there one thing that led to this?
You know, I couldn't, you know, pinpoint one thing that led to this. I think it was, I mean, for one, we kind of go in and we meet with, you know, these legislators who are either trying to pass these bills or for this legislation. They kind of frame it as, you know, we don't want people to not have access to jobs. You know, they see it as, you know, so anyone should be able to walk into a salon and start and pick up a pair of scissors or, you know, you start coloring hair. They don't have the education. They don't have the knowledge that is a terrible idea because people can get seriously injured. You know, members of the industry put in, you know, hundreds of hours of schooling to learn, you know, how to make sure that that doesn't happen and that they're keeping their clients safe. And so I think it comes from just from my experience in the past year, I think it comes from they think that it's a barrier to jobs. They feel that occupational licensing is a barrier to jobs and that having a state board of cosmetology or a state board of barbering, you know, that they feel like it too much. They feel like it's too much government, you know, in your business. You know, they feel like it's not necessary. And so I would say that that's probably the biggest place where it comes from.
Right. You know, now I know you, PBA, deals mainly with a lot of hairstylists, and then you have your licensed manicurists and licensed estheticians. I know that you guys, there may be some makeup artists who are members of PBA, but, you know, that's not your main membership.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm a makeup artist, but when I joined PBA, I joined because I am also a licensed manicurist. But in the state of Maryland, where I'm from, back when I went to school for makeup, you were required to have a license in makeup. And I had that license, I don't know how many years before, maybe within the last 3 to 4 years, I've been told that now they no longer require you to have a license. And so I don't know what brought that on. And I know a majority of the states, a lot of the states here, you know, they don't require makeup artists to have a license, but it makes me wonder why a state that does require it would all of a sudden say, okay, now you don't need it.
Well, I think a lot of the times, in some instances that we've seen, is that states will combine licenses. So if there's a state that has, you know, a barbering license, a cosmetologist license, you know, a salon owner license, a salon manager license, it's also a way for these legislators who see government overregulation to be an issue. That's also a way for them to kind of chip away at that a little bit. We definitely keep an eye out for those pieces of legislation because we don't want that legislation to lead to anything like an overarching deregulation bill. You know, I think a lot of times, just in, you know, depending on whatever issue you're concerned with, and this goes for any issue, I think that legislators will try and start from, you know, step one, which would be to, you know, limit licensing or take that away. But you could also kind of see, you know, how that can be a little bit useful depending on what the license is. Like if there are too many and if there's too much going on, you know, we want to make sure that we're working with these legislators to make sure, you know, that everyone's still well represented. But so that's probably a reason why they've taken away that license. They probably just combined it with an overall cosmetology license.
That's a good point. Now, you talked about the different parts of the industry that PBA deals with. You know, you have your manufacturers, you know, salon owners and so forth. What are some of those people saying about this deregulation issue? How do they feel about it?
Well,
especially,
you know,
the salon owners.
Yes. So the salon owners are, you know, definitely outraged. And, you know, that bill I mentioned in Indiana last year, you know, we did see 300 members of the industry come down to the legislature, but those who didn't live in Indiana or couldn't make it, you know, there were about 18,000 letters sent in specific to this piece of legislation. Yeah, so that was a huge number. And it came from all segments of the industry, but, you know, mostly salon owners and cosmetologists who have, you know, worked their entire lives to get to where they are, and they take their jobs and they take their careers very seriously. So it's essentially, it's pretty insulting to, you know, go to school for, you know, that long and work that hard and then have someone who doesn't understand your industry just kind of say, oh, we don't really feel that's necessary. So what we've really seen and, you know, how we've kind of harnessed that energy is we've started a state captain program through PBA, mm-hmm. and it actually launched July this year over the summer, or I'm sorry, last year over the summer. And this is a way for members of the industry to kind of be the eyes and ears on the ground when it comes to legislation affecting the industry. So if there, if, you know, for instance, if Myra or I hear about a bill, you know, that's been introduced in a certain state, we'll call on our state captains, you know, who some of them may have existing relationships with their legislators, you know, and some of them might be new and may not have that had experience yet. So we'll call on them and we'll you know, encourage them to set up meetings with their, you know, their representatives. And from there, we kind of devise a plan. Okay, you know, let's send out an e-blast targeting this bill specifically. And then from there, you know, depending on how big this bill is, like, you know, what would the impact be of the bill, we kind of decide, okay, well, what's the next step? And so that's a great way for members of the industry who aren't sure what to do or how to kind of battle this. You know, we'd love to have them become state captains, and there isn't a specific number that we need, but, you know, we would love to have anyone and everyone who's a member of the industry and who, you know, would be interested in advocating for themselves to be a part of that program.
Absolutely.
Well, I signed up last week. Excited.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. You know, it's a great program, and you know, we really wanted to, you know, this is its first year, and so this year, this, you know, most legislative sessions begin in January. So now it's ending, you know, April is ending. And so we didn't see too much activity, too much going on that we needed to be, you know, kind of overly protective of, you know, luckily this year. But what we really want to see happen with the state captains is kind of teach them, you know, in the off season, which is the time that, you know, legislators aren't in session. We want to teach them, you know, how to set up a meeting with their representative, you know, how to invite them mm-hmm. to your salon to tour the salon, you know, something like that. You know, we want to really, you know, make sure that they're active and that they feel like they're really learning a lot. And so that's something that we're going to be working on for this summer.
And so let me ask this, because estheticians are grouped under the cosmetology umbrella, if certain states decide to deregulate, that would cover their license as well, correct?
Correct, yeah. We definitely keep an eye on esthetician licenses as well, and we advocate for that too. So we would definitely, you know, we actually have some estheticians that are state captains, so we would definitely, you know, have them, teach them kind of how to, you know, advocate for themselves and, you know, what the next steps would be if a bill were to come up.
And so how many states are talking deregulation now, do you know?
There aren't, you know, we had a bill in Indiana, again, this session that was more of a overarching occupational licensing review bill. It didn't get anywhere because there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of fight from different occupational licenses and kind of their association and their communities. I mean, this bill included, you know, making a committee that would look at different occupational licenses in the state, including, you know, beauty culturists and also including, you know, pharmacists, nurses. I mean, it was across the board kind of looking at those licenses. But that didn't get anywhere this year. So that was kind of our biggest battle this year, but it did not get passed. It didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Let me ask you, in your opinion, how important is occupational licensing? How important is it for a hairstylist to be licensed? I mean, I know how I feel. I'm sure we all probably feel the same way. But, you know, there are some hairstylists out there who aren't licensed, and some of them may be very good at what they do. Mm-hmm. But they may feel like, well, you know, I know it all. Why do I need a license? Why is it important? Mm-hmm.
Well, we would definitely say it's important because of, you know, the health and safety of consumers and the risk that could come up if someone who was not properly trained in health and safety techniques, you know, went to cut hair. You know, they could be a wonderful hairstylist. They could be someone who, you know, knows all the techniques, but if they're not kind of well aware of the health and safety aspects, you know, that's really putting the consumers at risk, not to mention it puts, I think, the professionalism of the industry at risk a little bit as well, you know, because as you guys know, I'm sure, you know, it takes a lot of schooling, a lot of training to get to, you know, taking your license, or I'm sorry, taking the state board test to become a cosmetologist. And so, you know, I think moving folks through the system where they're all kind of at a level playing field, depending on where the state you live, because obviously there's different power requirements for each state. But, you know, moving, you know, folks through the system at 11 and being at a level playing field, and not to mention, you know, having state boards in place, because that's very much a part of it as well, to make sure that consumers are, you know, safe. I mean, you know, they're the ones that go into salons if they get a complaint or randomly do inspections to make sure that everything's okay. And you know, to take that away, you know, could put the public at serious risk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just want to remind you all who are out there listening, the call-in number, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And you can also join us here in the chat room where my sister Denise will be taking your questions. How do we, like you said earlier, you know, we all can get involved. Like my sister said, she signed up last week when we were on the call last week. And we can all get involved on a state level. That's that type of involvement, like what my sister is speaking of, is just on the state level. Is there a way for some of us to get involved through your work with the Fed?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, definitely. So we actually, a week from this Wednesday, I believe, is Welcome to Our World, which is our annual event in Washington, D.C. This event is actually through the Professional Beauty Federation, which is an organization that's made up of several different associations and companies, including, you know, the American Association for Cosmetology Schools, OPI, Sexy Hair is included in that, just to name a few. And this event is where members of the industry volunteer their time as either they are hairstylists, but they're volunteering their skills as hairstylists or nail technicians to come down to Capitol Hill and essentially, you know, give members of Congress or their staff members a 30-minute haircut or a mini manicure. And this is, you know, really a great opportunity because you have them kind of sitting in front of you, you know, for a half an hour to talk to them about the industry and talk to them about why the industry is so important, you know, talk to them about, you know, how hard you worked to get to where you are. And also, of course, talk about our FICA tip tax legislation. And this legislation, this is kind of the main focus of our federal work. And, you know, this is under the PBA umbrella. But we are working to get the basically the same tax credit that the restaurant industry enjoys. They get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit, restaurant owners do, when their employees report their tips. And this was something that was passed back in 1993 at the congressional level, to make sure that, you know, that those tips were getting reported, because that's such a huge part of, you know, of a server's income are tips. And so, you know, restaurant owners were essentially paying taxes on those tips, but were never, you know, seeing that money whatsoever. And so this, so we're basically extending that same tax credit to the salon industry and to salon owners. And we've actually had several meetings in the past month with different members of the House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, because they're the committees that come up with all the tax legislation. And so we've had constituents that are members of the industry come down to D.C. and talk to their members of Congress or, you know, a staff member of theirs about the tax credit. And, you know, we've heard salon owners from different parts of the country talk about, you know, they're paying out every year upwards of, you know, $20,000 on just, you know, on just taxes for FICA. And so, you know, that dollar-for-dollar credit would really help put, you know, put that money back into, their business. You know, they could spend more money on education. They could hire a couple more hairstylists or manicurists. So the meetings have been going very well. You know, every time we meet with staff, they're very receptive. You know, they see this as a positive move for the industry and for the economy as well. And so that's what we've been working on the past couple of weeks. And on May 8th, during the day, we'll have a lobby day that will focus on that. And then in the evening from 5 to 8 p.m., we'll have Welcome to Our World.
Okay. Now, just from some of my research, I just want to go back a little bit. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, but just in some of my research, and I will use the state of Missouri as an example, legislators there say that, you know, by deregulating, it would help the economy. It would spur economic growth. They get the fact that hairstylists, for example, working with chemicals, they understand, you know, the issue about safety and all of that, but still they see it as something that would cut red tape and could lead to more jobs. So they see it as a something that would lead to economic growth. Let's just say every state in this country says you no longer need a license to be a manicurist, to be a barber, to be a hairstylist, to be an esthetician. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know if the bill for those states who are thinking about doing this, I don't know if their bill says the same exact thing. I don't know if it's different per state, but we know that the bottom line is, let's just say every state says no license is needed. What does that mean to all of the licensed professionals, those professionals who are licensed right now? And then just what does it mean to our industry as a whole? Because personally, I don't really see it as something that would lead to economic growth. I'm still trying to understand that. So that's a whole other issue. But what does it mean to our industry as it exists right now? And what happens to those people who are already licensed?
Well, I think, I mean, if that were the case, you know, in which we hope, obviously, that doesn't happen, you know, and we work every day to make sure that doesn't happen, but if that were the case, I think that you would see a lot of, you know, you'd see a lot of folks who feel that they could walk into a salon and just start cutting hair. I don't mm-hmm. think that a salon owner would essentially hire that person, but this would also mean that it would be easier for someone who has no experience to go to, you know, someone who owns maybe a big building with lots of chairs to rent. It would make that, you know, legal to do that. If they didn't have a license, they could go to essentially, they could be a booth renter and they could do that legally. You would also see, obviously you wouldn't really need a state board anymore because if no one is licensed, there's not really a need for it, you know.
Right.
So that would be taken away. There definitely wouldn't be, I mean, possibly privately there could be, you know, more continuing education, but there wouldn't be any state-level continuing education requirements. So that would be taken away as well. I think what would ultimately happen is you would see kind of an influx of people who are going to kind of skip the school part and decide that they can do this on their own. And, you know, obviously we're not for that. We believe that we believe that licenses are there for a reason. We believe that, you know, that stylists need that training. They need to kind of be held accountable by a state board, you know, if they're not following the rules. And, you know, I think that we would just see more of a kind of a, I mean, I don't want to say free-for-all, but that's the only word that comes to my mind. I just think we would see more people who don't have training, you know, opening salons. Mm-hmm. I think we would see people opening salons in their own home, cutting hair from their home.
Yeah.
And obviously that happens now, you know, it happens.
Right.
But they're licensed, and they, you know, obviously it doesn't speak for every single person out there. But there would definitely be more of that, and there wouldn't be anyone holding these stylists accountable if they don't know what they're doing, or if they
and you know what,
now that you mentioned that, I'm thinking like with the state of Missouri that they made that comment about economic growth. If you have more people in their homes doing hair, doing nails, you know, facials in their homes, they may be getting the money and keeping the money, and the state that they live in never get an opportunity or a chance to tax that money.
Right.
Now, that's a benefit for the stylist, but what I'm saying is I still, you know, I couldn't understand this economic growth that they were talking about, you know. You know, there may be some growth for the stylist, but not for the state.
Exactly.
And then you spoke about people skipping school. I can see that happening if this were the case. And my question is, have there been any schools to reach out to PBA and voice their opinions about it? Because if people skip school, what are all these schools going to do?
Right.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. So actually, the American Association for Cosmetology Schools is essentially an organization that we work with very closely on a regular basis. They're actually, I mentioned, they're a part of a Welcome to Our World every year, and we work with them on several different issues. So, yes, we definitely have good contacts with folks at the association that deal just with schools. So they definitely have a stake in this issue, and they've been super helpful. I know that, you know, with the Indiana bill that focused on just cosmetology last year, they were a huge help. They got the word out. So anytime, you know, anytime that something comes up that, you know, is harmful to the industry, they've been right there to help us. They're also a part of our coalition that we formed to kind of push proactive legislation. So obviously, you know, year after year, we're fighting legislation, but we also are working on coming up with legislation that would be good for the industry that we can push forward so that we can kind of avoid these more negative pieces of legislation. So we're working with different organizations, including AACS. We're working with NIC, which is the State Board Association. We're working with several different organizations to make sure that happens. You know, because in the initial meetings, you want to make sure that once we start coming up with this legislation, that every member or every segment of the industry is represented. And luckily, we have really great relationships with every segment of the industry. So we've been able to kind of cover all of our bases and kind of figure out what's going to be best for the industry as a whole. So that's been a really, you know, that's been great because, you know, you can't get anything done if you're arguing all the time. And luckily, you know, we've been able to get together and really come up with some solid solutions to these issues.
Right.
If we get to the point, worst-case scenario, if we get to the point where there's no longer a license, a cosmetology license, where do we go from here? Where does PBA go from here? And I don't know if this is something that you may have thought about before. It's just a question that popped into my head. Like, you know, where do we go from here as professionals?
Right. Well, and I think the way we, you know, it's obviously, you know, it's definitely something that we thought about, and I think that we've been able to kind of see what battles are ahead of us and, you know, put out fires as they come up, essentially, because, you know, there's 50 states that we're dealing with, and we kind of deal with things state by state. And so what we're hoping to do through kind of this more proactive legislation is push, you know, some really kind of common sense legislation that's good for the industry, push that forward, you know, and start with a couple of states, and hopefully we'll see that legislation kind of move throughout the country and, you know, make its way into every state. So we have thought about it, and I think the way that we're doing that, you know, addressing that is making sure that we're represented in the states that are thinking about deregulation, and then, you know, working with our coalition to come up with proactive legislation. And also, you know, working with our state captains, because those are the people that are on the ground in every single state, to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information as well. So I would say that those are kind of the three ways that we're combating that, you know, while it's something that people are discussing.
Right.
Now, I know about, I just heard about, rather, there's a new campaign for PBA, and it's called, and I may be saying it wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, I am a professional, I am licensed campaign. Did I say that right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Can you speak in detail about that campaign and then how we as professionals can get involved?
Sure, absolutely. So this is actually a brand new campaign that we're running through our government affairs department, and it is called the IN, you know, for short it's called the IN campaign, but the long title is the I Am a Professional, I Am Licensed campaign, and kind of our slogan is you worked for it, you earned it, be proud of your profession. What we really want to achieve through this campaign is, of course, have stylists and salon owners, you know, have a little bit of collateral. You know, if a stylist is interested in this campaign, we send them a window cling that says that tagline. It says, I'm a professional, I am licensed, and it has our website on there. And they can hang that on their mirror, or they can hang it, you know, on the front door of the salon if they wish. So, you know, as, of course, if you're a client and you're sitting there and you're getting your haircut, it's something that you see, you know, for however long it takes you to get your haircut. So we're hoping to really spark the interest of the consumer because of the fact that the consumer would really miss out if deregulation happened across the country. You know, they would, and a lot of times I don't think they realize what it means to be licensed. I know that before I started this job, you know, I saw my stylist license on the wall, you know, I saw it, you know, on their station, but I didn't really know what exactly that meant. You know, I had a sense of comfort from that, knowing that they know what they're doing and that they're trained, but I don't think that people realize the hard work and, you know, the amount of hours and essentially the knowledge that they have about diseases that you could get through, you know, getting your hair cut or getting your nails done. You know, they have all that knowledge and they learn all of that, you know, through school and through passing their exam. So, excuse me. So hopefully, you know, what we want to do through this campaign is get the consumer involved in the conversation. So if a stylist is interested in this campaign, they can go to probeauty.org/IM and they can sign up for this movement, essentially, and they'll get that window cling. It's actually, there's a picture of it on our site here, and there's also a kind of a folded-up business card size card that stylists can hang out to consumers, or I'm sorry, hand out to consumers that lists, you know, these are the things that that stylists learn in school, and this is the knowledge that they have, and kind of from point A, which is, you know, starting school to, you know, the last, you know, to point B, you know, the last point, you know, all that they go through to become a stylist and to be a true professional in the industry. So we're hoping to really bring the consumer into the conversation and, of course, have, you know, stylists who are licensed be proud of that. You know, they worked really hard for what they have and, you know, they should be able to display that proudly.
Absolutely. Now, have you guys had any feedback from consumers in regards to this issue?
We've started the conversation with consumers. You know, we've got advocates, you know, in our corner who are professionals who have talked to their clients about it. So it's happening, but we want it to happen on a bigger scale. You know, we want to eventually get to a point where, you know, we're having meetings with legislators and we've got, you know, salon owners, stylists, and maybe a couple of clients who come in, you know, as a constituent of that particular legislator and say, hey, you know, I have a stake in this. You know, if you take away licensing, my stylist is, you know, I mean, if you take away licensing, I could go to a stylist that has no idea what they're doing and, you know, end up with a communicable disease or, you know, end up with, you know, something scary. And so, so that's what we're hoping to get to. We haven't gotten there yet, but, you know, it's starting, so we're getting there.
Okay, so while you were talking, you said probeauty.org/IM, and so I went out there, and I happened to see at the very bottom of that page, there's a little box, PBA logo, and it says, the Professional Beauty Association is the only national beauty organization spearheading efforts to block deregulation legislation. So by becoming a PBA member, you are supporting our efforts to protect the safety of beauty consumers, protect your profession, and protect the future of the industry. To ensure and promote integrity in the professional beauty industry, PBA encourages all members to abide by the PBA Code of Ethical Practices. What's the PBA Code of Ethical Practices all about? I mean, and it gives you a link to click on. I'm pretty sure it's very long or something, but what's that all about? Pledge.
So this pledge is something that is something for our membership department that was actually launched.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was. Yeah, it was launched last year, and there is if you click on that link, you'll see that there's a few different links here. You can download the code of ethical practices that our association has come up with, and there's also a code for each segment of the industry. Which is great because, as we know, you know, each segment deals with different issues, and of course, I can tell you that, you know, the issues range. I mean, they're so different, you know, from distributors to manufacturers to salon owners to cosmetologists. The issues are just completely different, and so we've got a code of ethical practices for each of those segments, which is great. We also have a couple of best practices, which I think are helpful too. You know, every salon, you know, I know strives to probably, you know, educate their stylists, educate their manicurists to make sure they stick with that salon. You know, there are salon owners that put a lot of time and money and, you know, sweat and tears into educating and training their stylists to make sure that they stay and that they're, you know, the most highly trained stylists out there. So best practices, that could be, you know, definitely a part of that that education and that training. So this is, you know, similar to what the IM campaign is, but it's kind of more of a guideline, where the IM campaign
gotcha.
Is kind of sparking a conversation and bringing consumers into that conversation.
Let me ask you, if deregulation becomes something that is happening, you know, of course, I don't want to see any state go that route, but if there are a few states to do it, and let's say there are more states doing it than not, does integrity in this business go out the door?
Gosh, you know, I don't know how to answer that, because I think that there are there are so many amazing, you know, salon owners and stylists out there who hold their profession to the highest standard. And I think, excuse me, if you took away licensing, I don't think that would go away for those people, but I think it would hurt that mentality, and I think it would hurt the industry, because you're going to see so many more people coming in and probably taking away business from those salon owners who are upholding the integrity of the industry, because you've got, you know, you'll definitely have people who will just start cutting hair. You know, they taught themselves how to do it, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, that may take away, you know, that may take away business from those salon owners and from those stylists. It's hard to say, you know, it's hard to have an outlook of what it would be and what it would look like. But I just think, you know, we're under the impression and under, you know, and kind of go by the feeling of, you know, we don't want to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Have you guys faced any adversity, any problems when you go to Washington and when you try to fight this issue?
So since, you know, when we go to Washington, our main issue is the tax legislation, just because it's a federal issue. And so each state has a state board. That's more of a state issue, so it's not. So we don't really talk to members of Congress about this issue. But the adversity that we come up against when we go talk to state legislators would probably, or their staff members, would probably be just the lack of knowledge there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think once we go in there and we have a conversation with them that includes, you know, these are the list of diseases that you can get from, you know, from getting your hair cut or getting your nails done if the person doesn't know what they're doing. I think that that really sparks kind of an alarm bell, because they don't, I don't think they realize that. I think they see it as, you know, what's the big deal? You're going, you're getting your hair trimmed. They don't, you know, they don't see the training that goes into, you know, chemicals and people handling chemicals and people handling scissors and people, you know, putting your feet in a bowl, to get a pedicure and using tools to get a manicure. They don't really see that is an issue, because I don't think they think of it that way. I think when we go into offices, I think they think of it as you're just cutting hair, what's the big deal? So once you introduce them to this kind of whole other world of what, you know, of what we deal with on a daily basis and what our stylists are taught on a daily basis, and then they take that out into, you know, their communities and have, you know, use that on their stylists, I think that definitely resonates. So I think the adversity that we come up against is the lack of knowledge. And, you know, we've reached out to organizations like ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council, and the Institute for Justice. They are two organizations who have tried to push for, you know, limited occupational licensing. And so we've had conversations with their staff members, and, you know, we've had quotes from these staff members of these organizations say, well, you know, it's up to the consumer. You know, it should be up to them. Like, a stylist should have a sign on their wall or on their mirror that says, you know, services at your own risk. You know, get mm-hmm. this service done at your own risk, which we just don't agree with at all. You know, we don't think that is going to be a way to take care of this problem, and we understand that they see it as a barrier to jobs and a barrier to employment, but, you know, as with any industry, we are professionals, and you should have to go through training, and you should have to go through, you know, everything that a cosmetologist has to go through to be able to get to where you are. You know, you really hurt the integrity of the industry by just saying, oh, just put a sign up that says, you know, services at your own risk. So those are probably the adversities that we come up with quite often.
And so I guess Welcome to Our World, which is coming up on May 8th, is a great opportunity for legislators to also learn about the industry, not only legislators, but artists who are not a part of CBA as well as the consumer, because anyone's invited, correct?
Yeah, well, so our attendees are only members of Congress or their staff members.
Okay.
So we invite, you know, the members on the House side and the Senate side, and we also invite their chiefs of staff, their schedulers, their tax counsels, anyone that kind of has to do with, you know, being, you know, they're in front of that member of Congress on a regular basis, because the way that it works in D.C. is most of the time we meet with staff members, but that's okay. You know, if you're talking to a member of Congress, they've got like 8 million different things going on in their minds that they've got to deal with. So if you've got an engaged, you know, chief of staff, or if you've got an engaged tax counsel in front of you to really explain the issue and they can give you feedback, that's almost more valuable than meeting with the representative themselves, because they've just got a, you know, plethora of issues to deal with. Obviously, we always love talking to them. It's always wonderful. But, you know, when you've got a staff member who's really engaged and is taking notes and is asking questions and can brief that member of Congress on the issue, that's just amazing. So that's typically what we do. And at Welcome to Our World, you'll see mostly staff members, and we get about 500 attendees every year, which is huge.
Wow.
But as far as coming on, you know, coming down to volunteer your time or coming to, you know, attend and see how things work, you know, that's always, you know, something that we invite. And we also have volunteer opportunities for people who want to just come in and register, you know, do registration or, you know, greet people or come in and kind of show them where they need to go, keep the line moving, that whole thing. So we have those opportunities as well. But we typically have, for those roles, we usually utilize students because it's a great opportunity while they're in school to come and see, you know, what they'll hopefully be doing someday, you know, if you're volunteering as a hairstylist or a manicurist, mm-hmm. to do that. And so it's a great opportunity for them to see how things work, which is great.
Absolutely. I think it's a great opportunity for them to, you know, like you were saying, learn what it is that beauty professionals do. I guess, and then they can see firsthand why this deregulation thing cannot happen.
Exactly.
And so,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of them, you know, they go to the hair salon. You know, I really don't think some of them would really want to walk in a salon and not see a license hanging up, you know, and just know that the people there aren't licensed. I really think that that's an issue that a legislator like anyone else really wouldn't want. Sometimes I feel like, you know, lawmakers try to take away what's really important to so that they can make what they want to work. And so they feel like, okay, we'll take a little from here and a little from there so that we can make our plans work. But really, I think some of them know the importance of having it, but that's kind of like the only way they can get what they want done.
Right.
So they,
exactly.
You know, for Missouri, exactly. You know, thinking about Missouri, like again, like I was reading earlier, how they say, you know, it's a, you know, a way for economic growth, but they did agree with the fact that, you know, we understand about the diseases and, you know, sanitation and that kind of thing. But you're thinking, okay, well, if you understand, why are you pushing for this? But it's just like somebody has to lose out. I think, you know, some states are probably saying somebody has to lose and we're just going to take from here.
Right, exactly. And you know, since it is at a state level, this actual issue, it's still a great opportunity to talk to members of Congress about it. You know, to let them know that it's happening. They might, you know, most of the time, if it's not right in front of them or if it's not an issue they're dealing with constantly, you know, why would they care? So, you know, it's good to let
right.
them know that this is happening at the state level and that it is really affecting the industry. So, yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of introduce them to the issue as well.
Right. So is there anything about deregulation that you really haven't shared with us tonight that we need to know? Any other ways that we can get involved? You know, I know you mentioned, you know, volunteering on May 8th, you know, signing up, you know, so we talked about signing up for this new campaign. Is there any other way that we can get involved in what you do with PBA? That you haven't mentioned tonight, and just anything about deregulation that you haven't said that we should know about?
You know, I would just really, you know, I mentioned this tonight already, but I would really stress, you know, being a part of our state captive program. It's still a growing program, and, you know, we're going to see some changes to it, you know, definitely this summer and throughout the year. I think that that's really the best opportunity for members of the of the industry who maybe not, who are kind of nervous about, you know, getting involved in government affairs. You know, they maybe see that it's affecting them, but they maybe don't understand why they need to get involved, or they're nervous about it. I mean, you know, sitting down with a member or with a representative or your representative is probably, you know, pretty stressful, and it can be, you know, something that if you don't do it all the time, that can seem scary. So we really, this summer, will want to be focusing on getting folks really feeling comfortable about doing that. You know, the great opportunity that we have with members of PBA and members of the industry is that they are essentially talking to their clients all day long. So they're comfortable with that. You know, they'll, you know, talk to them about how things are going and, you know, kind of, you know, many times act as somewhat of a therapist to their clients. So they're comfortable with having a dialogue, but we want to get them comfortable with having a dialogue with their member of Congress or with their representative at the state level. So that's something that we'll be pushing this summer. And you can go to probeauty.org/statecaptains, and my contact information is on there. And you can email me or call me anytime to sign up, and we'll send you a certificate and get you added to our website. So I would, you know, even though I already mentioned the state cabinet program, I wanted to stress it because it's really a good opportunity and a good way to get involved.
Absolutely. I just really hope that, you know, those in the beauty industry would really be concerned about it. And even though we know that PBA is out there doing what you all are out there doing what you can to help fight this issue and to, you know, address other issues that concern our industry. You know, like you say, you have salon owners, you have manufacturers, you know, you have your hairstylists and manicurists and your estheticians. But, you know, we all can join together, and join together with this organization, you know, would be, I think it would be huge, you know, but not only being a member of this organization, but we all can do just one thing to help in any way, and not just with deregulation, but any issue that, you know, that affects our industry. I feel like if we all could just, you know, volunteer in some way to help support the cause. And I just hope that people really find this to be important, you know, and not just say, okay, PBA is fighting, we'll just sit back and wait and see how things turn out. You know, like you said, try to speak with your local legislator, you know, even if it's nothing but just informing them as to why you think it's important. And, you know, and like I was saying earlier about the state of Maryland and not having that makeup license, I don't know what other states required. We may have been only, maybe just these only state, I'm not sure, but it wasn't that many others who had actual makeup license. But there were so many makeup artists in Maryland who were upset about it
right
when it left. You know, again, the whole issue of sanitation and I think it's very close to the aesthetics situation, because, you know, most of the time when you go to, unless it's a big school like they have it, like all the makeup schools in LA, when you go to an aesthetic school and take a makeup program, I think it's very close to what estheticians do, and so I really feel like it should, you know, it should be licensed. So I just feel like, you know, when things like that happen in your different, in each, you know, each of the states, that we should not only just complain about it within the industry or complain about it, you know, amongst a small group of people, but we should go to the legislators and we should, you know, contact the departments where you get your licenses from and say, hey, why is this happening? You know,
right.
Because even if you can't do anything about it, we need to at least have an understanding of why it happened.
Right, and where it comes from, and how you can stop it in the future.
Exactly. And I guess, you know, I can say for myself, I think I did call and ask why, and you know, the only excuse that you gave was, oh, because they don't do it anymore. And
right.
You know, maybe it was because the lady that was saying that to me, maybe she didn't really know either. She was just doing her job. They don't use it anymore, and that was it. So, you know, she may have not have known herself, but I just feel like we should try to get those answers. And so we should kind of use that in all the things that we do, you know, all the issues that affect us. Why is this happening? Where is it coming from? So that, you know, if we do volunteer, you know, we kind of know when we do volunteer with other organizations to try to help, we kind of know how to approach it.
Exactly. I think that's so important, is having that education and just feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like feeling comfortable with the issue, and you don't have to be, I don't think you have to be an expert by any means, but I think, you know, having a sense of what, you know, what the issue is and just generally how it affects you, that's when you're able to talk about it from a personal standpoint. And that's what any legislator wants to hear. They want to hear from their constituents, and they want to hear how it affects them and their business.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So, you know, we normally ask every guest that we have on at the end of the show, what is beauty to you? So I wanted to ask you, Bridget, what is beauty to you? We're going to switch gears a little bit.
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say, I just know so many beautiful people in my life. So I feel that beauty is very individualized, and beauty can be take on so many different, essentially so many different faces. It can take on, hopefully it takes on how you feel about yourself, you know, because everyone should feel beautiful and they should feel, you know, fantastic about who they are. And so I would say beauty to me is very individualized, and it's something that everyone should feel every day.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, with that being said, we want to thank you so much, Bridget, for joining us tonight. We will definitely be in touch because, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking of so many things. So we'll definitely be in touch because my sister and I are committing ourselves to helping in the fight against deregulation and helping PBA in any way, whether it's through membership or with, you know, the deregulation issue or whatever. We're committing ourselves to be more involved with PBA. So we'll definitely be in touch because we want to work a little bit more closely with you guys to kind of help spread the word about what you're doing and why it's important to, you know, for licensed professionals to be a member of PBA. You know, you guys may have a lot of members, but there are still so many professionals out there who have heard about you but still have no idea. So we want to get the word out.
Exactly. Well, I'm so excited that you'll be around more often. That's fantastic because you guys are wonderful, and I've had so much fun this past hour. So, you know, anytime you need anything, you know, please give me a call, and anyone can email me anytime. My email address is bridget@probeauty.org. It's also posted on both the probeauty.org/IM website and the probeauty.org/statecaptain website. All my information is there, so if you need anything anytime, feel free to call.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. And for those who listen tonight, if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite, and we'll be back next week where our guest is celebrity manicurist Bernadette Thompson, and she'll be here next week to share with us about working as a manicurist on editorial campaigns, and also she has a collection of nail care products, and she wants to talk about that a little bit as well. So join us again next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys have a wonderful and blessed week. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
I'm looking now. You want to know the date? March 17th. Yeah, I am. On our day off this week, let's try to get a couple things recorded for Bernadette. I'm going to give her a call, Jay-Z, just to have an idea of what he would do.
Bernadette Thompson said, great. Talk to you soon. So I'll send her out some questions, and then I'll touch base with her throughout the week by phone.